If I was a sales leader, I would be on there every day with something motivational to my team, you know. And of course, the world sees it, so it has to be something that's relevant for the world. But I can guarantee you, your whole team is going to see it too.
I love all three of those, and let me just highlight the third one. I actually, when I post, I actually take the link to that LinkedIn post and then drop it in an email to the entire team to say, FYI, I did this post on LinkedIn today.
All right. One of them that was in my neighborhood called me up and said, hey, you know, my name's Dave Mustaine. I'm the owner of Your Independent Grocer. It's a massive store. And somebody gave me your taco seasoning from the farmer's market. And I love your story. And I, you know, would you want to come in and talk? You know,
yes.
Yes. And so it was 5 minutes from my high school too. So I, you know, I walked on over after school with my backpack on, went up to the office and was like, hey, you know, like we negotiated. I had to negotiate a little bit. And that was it. I got my spices in my first grocery store.
Think about curiosity is what takes you to the next, you know, the next product line or the next channel or the next marketing idea, right?
It's true.
It's what keeps the wheels moving. And then the problem to solve probably should come first in my list. But I think we're all guilty of building things that only we want or we need. Yeah. But that's the three pieces there that, you know, that I'm always thinking about.
The reason that Megan is given that position is because Megan is the guardian of brand.
Okay.
So Megan cares about the brand more than anybody else and understands the direction it should be going in.
All right.
And she's not going to get distracted by the lady in the red dress.
I see.
So like, she's like walking through the Matrix, see the lady in the red dress, and you get distracted.
Yeah.
That is what Megan doesn't do. She has the power to not do that, to say, okay, like, I'm comfortable with this is our product. This is our stance. This is who we are. We're going to stay this way.
We've been open about it. Obviously, jumping into the cannabis industry was a, you know, I think at the time he was 12 or something like that, 11. So it was, you know, something to think about,
yeah,
in terms of how to communicate that. You know, I think what I've sort of landed on is pretty straightforward, which is this is something that people use when they're grown,
okay,
you know, and I think that that's, you know, I stand behind that message.
So that's part of it, but the other, I mean, there is also like, because historically fires used to burn in such a way that like you'd have like in some areas where you'd have a patch where it'd get like really hot and it'd burn out a stand, and then you'd have like kind of a meadow complex, but then others areas it'd be like lower intensity, it'd kill off like the dead, it'd burn out the dead wood and the low small trees and things like that.
Yeah.
And so you get this patchwork across a forest where, yeah, you had like different, but now when you have like 300,000 acres of like you've just, there's just no way that the seeds can get in, and you have changed like the microclimate there as well, which, yeah, is it's just baked hot. There's no, you know, shade for that little meadow set system that would normally have. And so like even grasses have a hard time sometimes.
I went to this ceremony and I had this experience, and it was right then and there, it was as though if, oh, that is what I've been looking for 35 years.
Wow. I mean,
that it was so crystal clear, and all it was just the realization of like who we are and what we truly are here to be. And it's kind of like reading and reading comprehension. When someone says, you know, we're all one, people say that. And there's some understanding like, yeah, we are all one. We all just the human family. This is the comprehension of that, where you fully comprehend that.
One thing I'd say about that, just to your listeners, and if you have listeners who are mentors and or potential angel investors, or just by word of mouth, I posted about this, that like there's that saying, like the best compliment you could give me is to refer someone to me, like refer business to me. And I said, those people have never had an angel investor put money into their company before, because like those checks that were written by people that I know that believe in us, like that's a compliment. That is a compliment. You know what I mean? It's like,
yes,
it's incredible. So even if you don't put in money, but to say like, if I had the money, I'd put it in because I believe in you. that just does so much.
And because technology has really advanced. So my co-founder, she worked in the cardiothoracic ICU at UCLA. And when we were taking care of some of her first patients, she, you know, she was used to these super intense on ECMO multiple drips. We're seeing these patients and she was asking me, she's like, would these patients be in the hospital? And I said, yes. You know, unfortunately, a lot of these patients in the medical unit are getting once a day antibiotics, once a day labs. And then for 23 hours, they're sitting in a super expensive bed, isolated from their family, at risk of infections. You know, the hospital, unfortunately, we need hospitals, but it's not a benign place for people. Infections happen, adverse events happen. And so, you know, that's what was so intriguing about this model is this model had been rigorously studied. And by every metric that we cared about in healthcare, all of those quality metrics and safety metrics were better when patients got care in their home. Mental health scores were better. And then the key for me was the cost of care was 30 to 40% lower.
Do you think that the ink pens will lift off of the desk from investors this year and we'll start to see cash again? Or is it still pins down, so to speak, from what you're hearing and seeing?
From what I'm saying, it's still pins down because if you think about it, right, like so many of these investors have been sold the narrative that federal legalization is going to happen any minute, and then it's going to be gangbusters. We're no longer have to deal with this 280E problem. Yep. And I mean, we've been in this, we've been telling that narrative for about what, close to 10 years now. And so people are exhausted. They're just like, you know what? Because a lot of the investors that I've spoken to, because, you know, I always just like keep them up to date on what we're doing. And then, of course, give feedback from them about what their pulse is in terms of investing in. Majority of them are simply waiting for the federal government to do something before they make any big investments moving forward.